Blog Talk Radio.
Radio coming to you live on a Sunday afternoon on the Feast of Christ the King. The truth about Iraq's Christian minority's annihilation is coming true. What we told you what would happen a few years ago when we started asking for your help to defend them. We have here with us Brother Alexis Panolo, President of Order Militaris. Welcome back.
Thank you, AJ, for having me back.
This is scary.
Yeah, it's a really sad article.
They can't even go to the government for help because they have to identify themselves as Christians. And it is also the government who's doing most of the killing and making the Christians disappear.
That article, maybe you want to tell the audience where the article can be found on the net and maybe read the testimonies of what the Iraqi Christians are saying, because it's so powerful and poignant. It will give us a lot to talk about.
Yeah. You can find it on the GateStoneInstitute.org. It's the Iraqi Christians Annihilation, and the title is The Annihilation of Iraq's Christian Minority. This one first comes from Father Douglas Albazi, Iraqi Catholic Parish Priest of Erbil. I'm proud to be an Iraqi. I love my country. But my country is not proud that I'm part of it. What is happening to my people, the Christians, is nothing other than genocide. Wake up. Another Iraqi Christian man explaining why the Christians can't go to the government. Contacting the authorities forces us to identify ourselves as Christians, and we aren't certain that some of the people threatening us aren't the people in the government offices that are supposed to be protecting us. The government-sponsored school curricula presents indigenous Christians as unwanted foreigners. Although Iraq was Christian for centuries before it was conquered by the Muslims in the 7th century. Another report elaborates. Violent religious groups such as ISIS or Daesh and other radical militants are known for targeting Christians and other religious minorities through kidnapping and killings. Another source of persecution are Islamic leaders at any level, mostly in the form of hate speech and mosques. Government officials at all levels are reported to threaten Christians, encourage them to immigrate. Also, normal citizens in the North have reportedly made remarks in public, questioning why Christians are still in Iraq. Several regional Christian leaders confirmed these findings. According to the Syriac Orthodox Bishop George Shaliba, what is happening in Iraq is a strange thing, but is normal for Muslims, because they have never treated Christians well. They have always held an offensive and defaming stand against Christians. We used to live and coexist with Muslims, but then they revealed their canine teeth. They do not have the right to storm houses, steal and attack the honor of Christians. Most Muslims do this. The Ottomans killed us. And after that, the ruling nation state understood the circumstances, but always gave advantage to the Muslims. Islam has never changed. Father Douglas Albazazi also said again, "I'm proud to be an Iraqi. I love my country. But my country is not proud that I'm part of it. What is happening to my people, the Christians, is nothing other than genocide. I beg you, do not call it a conflict. It's genocide. When Islam lives amidst you, the situation might appear acceptable. But when one lives amidst Muslims as a minority, everything becomes impossible. Wake up. The cancer is at your door. They will destroy you. We, the Christians of the Middle East, are the only group that has seen the face of evil, Islam." And about the government...
Those are very...
But
I was going to say, those are very powerful testimonies. Keep reading. What is it?
On the government-sponsored school curricula, indigenous Christians as unwanted foreigners, although Iraq was Christian for centuries before it was conquered by Muslims in the 7th century. As a Christian politician in the Iraqi Ministry of Education explained, there's almost nothing about us Christians in our history books. And what there is totally wrong. There's nothing about us being here before Islam. The only Christians mentioned are from the West. Many Iraqis believe we moved here from the West, that we are guests in this country. If the Christian children say they believe in Jesus in school, they face beating and scorn from their teachers. The most telling is that the Iraqi government hires and gives platform to radical clerics whose teachings are nearly identical to the Islamic State. Grand Ayatollah Ahmad al-Baghdadi, for instance, one of the nation's top Shia clerics, explained during a televised interview the position of non-Muslims living under Muslim rule. "If they are people of the book, Jews and Christians, we demand of them the jizya, a tax on non-Muslims. And if they refuse, then we fight them. That is, if he is Christian. He has three choices, either convert to Islam, or if he refuses and wishes to remain Christian, then he pays the jihad. But if they still refuse, then we fight them, and we abduct their women and destroy their churches. This is Islam. This is the word of Allah."
We saw that same behavior in northern Nigeria, where the children, all these girls, was it some dozens, maybe over 100 girls, if I remember correctly, Christian girls, were kidnapped by Muslims and forced to become Muslim and have children by them. It's the teaching of Islam. If you said any of these things in the West, your social media accounts would probably be shut down immediately because you would be considered a bigot or a racist. I know on Twitter actually told me in private correspondence that they consider Islamic supremacists a protected group, and if you insult them or call them out on Twitter, Twitter will shut down your account because Twitter is heavily invested from Islamist supremacists, and they do that because they're trying to control free speech in the West, just like the EU court just declared it not to be free speech to criticize the Prophet Muhammad. Okay, and that's how Islam attacks. It goes after key points of free speech and free behavior and prevents you from criticizing, and then they advance their propaganda and control the minds and distort historical facts and incite hatred and then acts of hatred, persecution, which all comes down to rape, taking women, having children by them, eliminating the children of Christians and non-Christians, and exterminating and genociding their enemies. And this is what they've done throughout history. And I'm really saddened by this article. It gets me mad not only that they've suffered this much, but that the mass media 2 years ago, when they were reporting many of these things and saw such a reaction in the pub and social media that Christians were going to, hey, let's do something about it, they immediately started censoring it all. And now you don't hear anything about it. I mean, I just heard a very rare news story the other day. It says ISIS has recaptured all the territory taken from them and by U.S. allies in the last few months. So what's going on over there, you know? And the mainstream media, if they talked about this, it would suscitate in the West a desire to do something to help Christians. And this is what we've been asking for 2 years. And we still haven't raised any investment enough to do anything, okay? We have good supporters, and a lot of members have supported us basically with the expenses of, you know, running a corporation, doing some publicity. But we need investments to do anything. And my point 2 years ago is the same thing I'll say right now. We cannot rely on the nations of the world to defend Christians in the Mideast for three different reasons. First reason, geopolitics. What are the three nations in the Mideast that have been most friendly to Catholics and Orthodox and Christians in general, okay, who are in the areas of conflict? It is Lebanon, Syria, and Iraq, okay? Lebanon was invaded by Syria back in the 80s and 90s, and more than a million Muslims were pushed across the border to turn Lebanon into a Muslim nation and to make Christians there a minority, and now they're in a very bad situation. Under Saddam, Iraq was one of the most friendly nations to Christians. Once he was removed, 85% of Christians have either been genocided or driven out of the country. The last nation that was friendly to Christians was Syria, and the United States, Britain, and France, Israel, and Saudi Arabia, and Turkey started a conspiracy to overthrow the Syrian government, and basically it was to support jihadi groups that would exterminate Christians. Okay, they're also attacking the Alawite Muslims that run the government there with Assad, but they're destabilizing the country, making it unfriendly for Christians. So the three most friendly nations to Christians have all been attacked. Obviously Christians have a lot the safest places in the Mideast. If you're going to call Mideast countries, it'd probably be Cyprus, which is a Christian nation, and then Israel, which is pretty tolerant towards Christians, though some persecution of Christians take place there. And Egypt, there's a lot of persecution there, but it's not nearly as bad as what's going on in Iraq or Syria. And so, for geopolitical reasons, there's no world power there that's defending Christians, except maybe Russia. Okay, what Russians are doing to defend Christians is their affair. It's, you know, we're outside of Russia, and most of our members live in countries. I think all of our members live in countries that are not allies of Russia and have no relationship with the Russians due to the geopolitical conflict between the West and Russia that's still going on. Although Russia is, in most ways, more a Christian nation than most nations in the West, which are ruled by Masonic governments. So the hard thing for us Christians and Catholics in the West to understand is there was a thing called the French Revolution and the Masonic Lodge. And since the 1790s, one nation after another in the West has been taken over by ideals of the French Revolution, which were Masonic and Masonic principles, so that there are countries that are majority Christian nations, and many of them even Catholic nations, if you look at the people, the governments, the whole public society is controlled by Masonic principles, and we're constantly under restraints or persecutions that prevent us living our Catholic life or expressing Catholic life, or even having decent Catholic laws. So our governments are really anti-Christian, and they're in constant warfare with us to suppress our Christianity and undermine Christian morals. Whether it's just to give an example in the United States, why does the government allow all these opioid drugs be given to young people since they just hurt their knee? I mean, you hurt a knee, give them a few pills. You don't give them a 120-pill bottle, so it becomes a drug addict and destroyed. Thousands of young people have committed suicide from opioids. Why? Because the government allowed it to happen. Why did the government allow it to happen? Because our government is Masonic in principle. It denies there is a true God, there is a true faith, and destroying young people is one of the goals of the Masonic agenda. It's also one of the goals of the Leninist agenda, because if you destroy the youth, that's the next generation. So they attacked the youth in the 60s, and the people who accepted the perverse morality that was put out in the sexual revolution, they're the ones running our country today. Okay, the best of them still have very bad sexual morals. That's why you have all these accusations of groping and all this divorce and things like that and cheating on wives. So geopolitically, there's no power to protect Christians. But also there's no private initiative. Okay, what corporations out there are dedicated to defending Christians? In some countries like France, you could not found a security company for defending Christians. It's actually illegal in law because of the Masonic laws of France. In the United States, we can do that. We still have the right to do that. We can't just put an ad. We can't put an ad, however, in official publications like Army magazines, military magazines, because the U.S. Army goes by French Masonic principle. You cannot advocate the defense of a group. That's discriminatory. But if Christians are the ones being attacked, why is it discriminatory to advocate their defense? See, it's just they create a fake Pharisaical rule, which in effect is anti-Christian. Okay, so and the same thing. The U.S. Army right now, military right now is anti-Christian. There's people of that have excellent military careers that are being bounced out because they read a passage from the Bible. I mean, I think the Air Force even came up with their own version of the Bible that doesn't offend, you know, the Masonic principles. That's how crazy it is. So, Ordo Militaris Catholicus, our religious association, which proposes to revive the spirit of Christian military ethics and warfare for the defense of Christians, not offensively, for the defense of Christians, because in Christianity, we don't advocate war for war's sake or war for conquest. We only advocate the use of war in necessity for defense. That's not to say some Catholics didn't observe that. You know, you can't really say the conquistadors of the Spanish world entirely absorbed that because they're involved in wars of aggression and conquest. But our principle is the Catholic one of self-defense. We need organizations like that because youth need to be trained. It's a good, holy, and just thing that Catholics and Christians live according to their faith, even in public life. And if Christ is our Lord, that should sanctify, if our faith should sanctify every part of our life, as we Catholics believe, it should also sanctify our use of military force and our way that we defend ourselves. Okay. And defending our rights, civil and private and religious, is a good and holy thing. Catholics have the right to express their faith like everyone else. You still hear me, AJ?
Yeah.
I just want to make sure. I was just making sure I didn't hear any feedback. Maybe I lost connection. So it's a good and holy thing we defend our rights, but it's also a good and holy thing we defend our brothers and sisters in Christ who are being persecuted precisely because they are Christian. Because that is charity. That is justice. Because we in justice, we should help defend our brothers and sisters in Christ. And it's also a work of charity. And it's also good for us because we need to learn to acquire the virtue of standing up for our own rights. And standing up for your own rights is, you know, most Catholics think, well, we should go to the abortion clinic and play the rosary. That's true, but we're not really standing up for our rights there. We're standing up for the right of life, which is a natural right. It's not a Catholic right. How many Catholics say we're going to do a procession in town because we Catholics have the right to build a church and they're preventing us from building a church? Few Catholics in the West would have that courage, I think, today. Because since the French Revolution and the toppling of nearly all governments in the West, so they're now ostensibly anti-Catholic, Masonic, we don't have a clergy anymore who have the backbone to fight. Matter of fact, we have most of our clergy are involved in surrendering. Okay, many priests, bishops, and even the Pope are preaching the doctrines of Barack Obama and George Soros and not of Jesus Christ. So, you know, they wouldn't even dream of advocating the defense of Christians. They'll advocate the importation of Muslims, okay, to cause even more conflict because they are at heart traitors. They don't really believe in Jesus Christ. They don't want to defend the church. They don't want to defend you or your family. They don't want to defend any Christian families. They just want you to keep giving them money so they can keep pretending being Catholic, and they're just not. They're fake leaders. So an organization like ours is good. It's right. It's necessary. It doesn't exist. But we can't do it without you. So consequently, we need investment, and that is the tough goal because we live in an age where the people who are wealthy follow the doctrines of George Soros or don't want to be seen as not following the doctrines of George Soros or Barack Obama. So it takes principled Catholics who are willing to put their money where their mouth is, not just lament all day on social media. And I'd say one thing about social media is in the last 20 years, you have a lot more Catholics willing to say the truth on social media than they used to be. Okay, used to be you never talked about these things. No one criticized the Pope or for not doing anything about sexual abuse. No one criticized John Paul II hardly for not doing anything about sexual abuse. And now a lot of people coming out since, you know. So they're willing to talk about it. But we have to go beyond lamenting a problem to solving a problem. I wouldn't fault women for lamenting the problem and doing nothing more. Because you expect women to lament problems. But for the men, we have to regain our masculinity in the West and stop acting like conquered, you know, subjects, and stand up and have some, excuse my language, some balls, and do something about solving the problem. Because we want to be true men, we're going to look for what's good for Catholic society today and the future generations. What we, the battles we fight today and win, or prepare to fight and win, are the battles our children and grandchildren won't have to fight or will be prepared to win. And so it's caring for one's own family, one's own progeny, one's own nation, one's own people to look. And that's the way a man should look at the world. Okay, he shouldn't be subservient. He shouldn't be groveling. He should stand up for what is right. But he should do it in a prudent, organized, law-abiding way so that he will win. And he shouldn't just, you know, fly off the gun and do something. So that's the kind of organization Ordo Militaris is. We follow all the laws. We're not into secession. We're not into rebellion. We're not into starting civil wars. We're not, because we're just a defensive organization. But we'll do a lot of good by doing what we're doing, because KISS is the way Catholics should act. And we are not run by the clergy. We're not approved by the bishops. We have some priests that pray for us, but we're not led by priests. I myself am a hermit, a lay hermit. I'm not a priest or anything. That's why I have the freedom and the liberty to speak like this. I have no fear that anyone's going to tell me to shut up. And if they did, I'd say, bug off, you know. You're not going to tell me to shut up because I'm saying it's Catholic and I know it. And that's the way we Catholics should act. Because true Catholic faith is not being subservient to the Pope or bishop. True Catholic faith means you're subservient to Jesus Christ. It means that Jesus Christ is your head, your God, your Savior, your Lord, your Master, and the one whom you adore, worship, and pray to every day. It doesn't mean that the Pope or your bishop or your pastor is your Lord, Master, and the one you pray to every day. It's not what Catholicism is about. A big problem we have is parochialism. They think we must be part of the parish and parish controls everything we do. That's not Catholicism. That's a modern notion that's invented by parish priests that just want, you know, the guarantee they're getting your money every month and want to control you. And that's not ever been part of the Catholic faith or church. And Catholics shouldn't live that way. But having a mature adult, in a good sense, mature and adult sense of your faith is something that we need to promote. And that's one thing Ordo Militaris intends to do. So I'm really sad at for these three reasons. One, geopolitics. Two, the fact it means there's no nation helping the Christians. Two, there's no private organizations helping them. And three, even the clergy. I mean, the clergy will lament the problem, but the clergy won't organize anything. One of the big reasons why so many Catholics have fled Iraq is the patriarch there, who's lamenting at the youth synod just last week that genocide is going on there. He's the one that told the people not to arm themselves, not to form militia, and not to form self-defense organizations. The blood is on him. And for that treachery, the Pope made him a cardinal. It doesn't surprise me with Bergoglio. So to help Catholics and Christians in Iraq is something we can do, because Iraq is a U.S. ally, and we can freely travel there. We don't have to violate any laws to help them. We could start a consulting company, a security company. We could teach them how to defend themselves, help organize and rebuild communities in ways that – they could get advance notice if jihadis are coming down the road, and teach them to stand up for themselves, because for more than 1,300 years, they have been under the yoke of Islamic persecution, and they just tend to be the kind of people who would rather hide away and pretend it won't happen or flee. And our Lord does say, if you're persecuting one town, flee to another, but he also told the apostles, you know, to carry swords. So our Lord does want us to defend ourselves and use what means are just and honest to do that. And we in the West can teach them that, because we have not lived under Islamic domination. And we have a sense of, you know, Catholics standing up for what we believe in. We have that history and tradition that goes back more than 1,000 years in the West. And we can look to the examples of yesteryear to do that, the Crusades chief of all. So when the first Crusaders took Jerusalem, that was a sign to the world that the Catholic faith is the true faith, that the Orthodox should not have gone in schism with Rome, that Christianity is superior to Islam. And our Lord used the Crusades to teach theologic truths and also about the right use of just wars. The Crusades were just wars. I think there's 11 or 12 canonized saints and blesseds who were Crusaders or went on the Crusades. We have them on our website under our holy patrons down at the bottom of our webpage. You can click on the saints of the order, patron saints. So it's a good and holy thing, but we got to do something. I mean, I want to thank all the members who have made pledges in whatever small amount to keep us up and running. And I want to thank all those who got a Lepanto investment kit, sent a donation. But now we need to get to thinking something seriously. I mean, a lot of members have told me, well, maybe if one of us wins the Powerball or Mega Millions or we know someone, maybe we can make an investment. But we already know there's already 300 or 500 of us. We need to start thinking seriously about investment. Everyone, I know some people have no savings, okay? But there are a good number of us who have savings who could make an investment, because when you give a donation, that's it. You know, your money's off. But when you're making an investment, you haven't lost your money. You just converted it to a security, which is called stock, and you own part of our PMC, and you enable us to do what we need to do. And so, as I suggested a little while ago, last year, maybe 18 months ago, we started talking about a basic combat training program, because our recruits will need to get training before they start serving in defensive roles on missions. And we've described that on our website. We've done a whole program on it. But many of the potential recruits we're getting are guys that really need some physical training before they'd go to basic combat, so they pass it. And so we would need a house to do that in. And it would be a great thing if the members all bought one share of stock. We get the $500,000. We could buy a property into the countryside of Montana and use it as a place to train the guys, so that when they went through basic combat training, they would pass. You know, teaching them the endurance to run distances and to survive in the open, basic survival skills, things like that, self-discipline, because there are a few youth today who are so disciplined that they don't need any training and discipline. And we need to teach them catechism on adult level, because almost nowhere it's taught on an adult level, so they know how to comport themselves as Christian men honorably in any situation. And we need to teach them Catholic ethics of war, to know what to do, when to use force and how to use it and to what extent, and to give them a little primers on self-defense and getting them ready to prepared for taking the courses they would be taking in basic combat training and surviving it, you know, how to endure things like stress, anxiety, fear, and stuff like that by the practice of virtue. But it's investment. So what's happened in Iraq has happened because we didn't do enough maybe to do promotion, although we've been spending almost all the capital raising on promotion, but because the people who've heard our message haven't responded deeply, okay? And I would encourage anyone who can make an investment to buy our stock, okay? 500 shares of the stock is not a difficult thing. I would say that if you're a prudent, frugal Catholic, by the time you've reached 50, 60 years, you probably have already a couple hundred thousand in the bank if you've had a good job. And so, you know, a few shares of stock, which is only a few thousand dollars, is a very small investment, and we pay a dividend. And it's a great way of using your assets to start something that the church really needs, the world really needs, but most of all, persecuted Christians really need. Because there's no other organization like us. There's no organization organized like us to do what needs to be done. And I think we will succeed by God's grace, because we're following the example of the saints and the teachings of the church and everything we're doing. So...
This last quote by a Christian refugee from Mosul, he says, "We left Mosul because of ISIS came to the city. The Sunni Muslim people of Mosul embraced ISIS and drove the Christians out of the city. When ISIS entered Mosul, the people hailed them and drove out the Christians. The people embraced ISIS, the people who lived there with us. Yes, my neighbors, our neighbors, and other people threatened us. They said, 'Leave before ISIS gets you.' What does that mean? Where would we go? Christians have no support in Iraq. Whoever claims to be protecting the Christians and Christians is a liar. A liar.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, not only did the Sunnis in Mosul turn against, but the Kurds turned against the Catholics and Christians in Mosul and went door to door and ordered them to hand over their guns. And the Christians have no one in Iraq to help them because the Kurds wanted to take over northern Iraq, which was traditionally the Christian part of the country. And they openly say, the land is the Kurds. This soil, what's under the soil used to belong to the Christians, meaning the Christians are a dead bird civilization. So the Kurds are trying to take as much territory off the Christians. And then the Shia in the south, well, they believe the country's always been Muslim, which is not true. They weren't there before the 7th century. And they want to push the Christians out too. So you have two powerful wars. The Kurds are the allies of the United States. The Shia kind of allies of the United States and allies of Iran. And together, the Christians have no allies. The French are not the allies of the Christians, because the French is an extremely Masonic government. The British are allies of the Kurds. Israel is allied of the Kurds, and the Saudis, I think, are even allied with the Kurds. So the Christians have no one to help them. And they could use a lot of training, a lot of formation, a lot of information, equipment that we could give them legally and help them legally so that they stand strong. And no one threatens them, because if they can defend themselves, Muslims aren't going to attack them. Muslims are, though they can be extremely violent people when they have what they consider the advantage. If they see a strong Christian force, they're not going to attack it because not suicidal. Okay, that's how Christian Lebanon has remained Christian for 2,000 years. They arm themselves. Lebanese have a great military tradition and have mountains to flee to, and they've armed themselves to the teeth, and therefore no one has dislodged them. And they were great allies of the Crusaders when the Crusaders arrived there. But the Christians of Iraq don't have that tradition, and they need someone to teach them that tradition so they can preserve their faith, their rights, their lives, keep their daughters from being raped and kidnapped, and their sons being executed in the street. Their churches from being bombed. And I think in that article said a Christian church, every 40 days a Christian church in Iraq is blown up or burnt down or attacked. So
yeah.
The U.S. government is doing nothing, and the U.S. government will do nothing because they don't want to offend their allies. The British government won't do anything. The French government won't do anything. They don't want to offend their allies. The Spanish government won't do anything. The Israeli government won't do anything. The Saudi government won't do anything because they don't want to offend their allies. So I know even our organization, just for proposing to do something, we've gotten a lot of flack. We've got a lot of people from the government don't like us, and they told us they don't like us. Well, you know, tough luck. We're going to follow the law, and our law gives us the right to do what we're going to do, and we're going to do it. But we need investment, and to buy certain properties in the United States we can use for training, and that will start the that will encourage others to give us the financial support we need to do our missions overseas. So I would encourage you, you know, we can talk about, you know, it's a terrible thing, this recent story that happened about Jews being killed in Pittsburgh by a neo-Nazi, a member of the Nazi Party, a Trump-hating Nazi. That's just 14 people. I don't want to diminish it by numbers, but we're talking about hundreds of millions of people. We're talking about millions of people, hundreds of thousands of people in the Mideast, Christians who have been murdered. And no one talks about that. I mean, if we're going to talk a week about 20 Jews who are injured or shot or killed, how many weeks should we talk about a million Christians who have been genocided?
Mm-hmm.
Calculate it. 20 is 5 20s in every 100 and 10 hundreds in every 1,000. So that's 50 times for every 1,000, and there's 100,000. So that's 50. We should be talking at 50,000 weeks. Okay? 50,000 weeks is... More than a thousand years we should be talking. So, but the media won't talk about it, because if you look actually the credits of most news broadcasts, the chief editors of most news networks and even newspapers are Jews, so they're going to talk about Jewish things, not going to talk about Catholics. And because, as I said before, we live in a post-French Revolution era with Masonic governments. They don't want Christians to become aware of self-defense. they'll try to lump anti-Christian terrorism with every other kind of terrorism because they don't want you to start thinking you should defend your right to your faith, to practice your faith. And little by little, they try to chip that away. And for example, the shooting that took place at shooting that took place at the Christian church in Texas. They claimed in the media that the guy was a Christian. He wasn't a Christian. He was an atheist. And he had been a Christian, but he became an atheist. And after he became an atheist, he gunned down everyone in the church. So they tried to claim it was just domestic terrorism. But no, it was atheistic terrorism. Okay? Let's not hide the fact it was atheistic terrorism. Same thing with the blacks who were killed in the church in Charleston. They tried to paint that guy as a Confederate. He was actually a Democrat, and he was just an anti-black racist. He wasn't, and he was also anti-Christian because he killed him in a Christian church. So a godless fellow, and that's the kind of things that really go on. You know, that's what's really going on. No one talks about the 5,000 Catholics in Nigeria have been killed by Muslims, and just in the last year. And why? Because Nigeria is an ally of the United States. You know, the government does anything to protect Christians from being murdered because the U.S. doesn't want to upset their contract with, you know, selling them fighter planes or something like that. I mean, it's ridiculous. So we need a Catholic organization, a Christian organization, to defend Christians who are being persecuted because no one is defending them. And no one will defend them unless those listening to this program are investors and members of our order and those interested in this, you know, ante up the money and make an investment so we can start forming men to defend them because there are men who want to do it. But we need a place to do it. We can't do it in thin air. You can't do it at a private home. There's all kinds of legal implications. We cannot rent. I've tried renting property in Montana. All the properties I tried to rent turned out to be unknown to me, owned or being leased by Jews, and they won't rent to us in Montana. The Jews of Montana will not rent to our organization. They're either left-wing Marxists or they're Jewish supremacists themselves, and they see that we're a threat for some reason. I don't know. We're about defending Christians and Muslims and why they think we're a threat. I don't know, but that's just the way they are. So we need to own the property and so that we have the right to use it as we want to, and therefore we have to buy property. So this is something – investment is not just, you know, it would be a nice thing to have. No, investment is essential. We cannot begin doing anything without investment. And though I thank all our members and benefactors who've made micro investments to keep us going this far, that's just not enough. You know, you buy a house with a property big enough to do something, it's like $500,000. Okay, at least $750,000 would be something we get some bit more land. That's what it's going to take. Anything less than that, you know, $50,000 wouldn't do anything because, as I said, they will not rent to us. Okay, they're that bigoted. And even I remember I was looking into renting an office space in Indiana. Even there, they will not rent to us. Because a lot of Protestants are pacifists or they're anti-Catholic bigots. And even the Protestants won't rent to us. The secularists won't rent to us. A lot of people really hate the fact that Christians would defend themselves. It's quite amazing. And a lot of people hate Catholics. So this is something you have to do by investment. So if you're the kind of Catholic who've been persecuted in your life in any little way, or if you're a kind of Catholic who understands that, yeah, we are persecuted, then you have to be the kind of Catholic that's going to say, it's time for Catholics to stand up and defend themselves, put their money where their mouth was and stop being kicked around. Because if we allow ourselves to be kicked around, they're going to kick us around. Yeah. You know, people glory in the fact that there was once a Catholic era with Catholic monarchs and stuff like that, but it didn't become Catholic because Catholics let themselves be kicked around. No, it's because people said, I'm going to be a Catholic, and don't you dare kick me, I'll kick you back. Okay? The great Catholic kings of Europe were not people who let themselves get kicked around. Quite the opposite. They'd kick you right in the butt. So as the battles of Lepanto and the Crusades amply demonstrate, our forefathers from 1,000 years ago, if they came back to life now, if they allowed our Lord, allowed them to come down from heaven, if they're in heaven, and saw how we act, they would bitterly scold us for our lack of courage, our effeminacy, our silliness, our foolishness, our villainy, that we allow these things to be done against our holy faith, and we take it. And I say laymen and clergy, if they came back, they would say that to us. So I know we're a kind of a lone voice out there because there's a lot of groups out there that claim that they're Catholic. They hold the real eternal faith, but they're really pacifists, and they really accept the French a Masonic order of things, that Catholics should be subservient, never carry a gun. I remember I was seeing a comment, someone like, well, if Catholics did, oh yeah, it was, we wanted to put an ad in National Catholic Register 2 years
yeah.
ago. And the legal counsel of EWTN told me in an email, there would be grave legal implications if we allowed you to place such an ad. You know, grave international repercussions. Why? That Catholics would defend themselves? That would somehow be a sin? Evidently, the legal counsel of EWTN thinks that. He said it in an email to me. that shows you how far some Catholics who are in very important, influential roles in Catholic organizations in the United States are so out of touch with Catholic reality. Okay. So we don't suffer from that problem in organization, but we do need financing. EWTN gets billions of dollars, and but they're not anywhere near us on what Catholics need to do. They're pretty weak. They take a very weak position if that's their legal counsel. I would say that's cowardice, personally. You know. So look what happened to the Armenians in Turkey more than a century ago. They were massacred, several million, not just Armenian Orthodox, but even other groups of Christians like Syriacs, Orthodox and Catholic, they were massacred. They were genocided because no one would stand up for them. Turkey did it because Turkey had just gone from the Ottoman Empire to a Masonic state, and they knew that the Masonic powers of the West would not intervene. Russia was being weakened by a communist civil war, and so Russia could not intervene because Russia was always the strong Christian power in that part of the world. So they massacred them. And Muslims will do the same to every Christian population if we lay down our guard and let them kick us, okay? Because that's what Islam teaches. I'm not saying every Muslim believes that, but that's what Islam teaches. And when push comes to shove, they'll take their knives out. So we have to always be defended. We have to resuscitate a Christian culture that we take pride in defending ourselves and knowing how to defend ourselves so that our, if not ourselves, at least our wives and our children don't suffer horrible things because we didn't do anything. So maybe yeah. not, you say, oh, well, it's overseas. We went to the National Rights Association convention, gave out lots of pamphlets, and many people said this to me. She goes, what you're doing is a good thing, but that's overseas in Iraq or Syria or Nigeria. I'm not about defending Americans in America. Well, you know, if that's your sense of Christianity, what can I say? You know, if your Christianity doesn't go beyond the borders of the United States, are you a Christian? No, you're really just an American, okay? Your Christianity takes a second place to your politics. And I know we have members in different countries. Our Christianity, our Catholic faith, extends to the whole world because there's no limits to it, okay? It goes all the way to heaven. It goes from here to earth to heaven. So there should be no national boundaries when it comes to defending fellow Christians, fellow Catholics. We have to think that way and act that way. And anyhow, the investments that we're raising are for facilities here in the United States to train U.S. citizens. So it is going towards Americans. And with a facility, once we have a facility to train, like a basic comic training camp, that would cost several million, we can actually train American citizens to defend themselves in the case of an Islamic takeover. There is, I read somewhere, there's something like 25 jihadi bases in this country right now, training Muslims to kill us and take over the country by armed force. The U.S. government knows about it. Obama knew about it, didn't do anything. Trump still hasn't done anything as far as I know about them, hasn't shut them down. So why can't Christians have one base? And see, we would be that base. So because when we're not training our own men, we can open the base to courses and say, well, if you want to learn how to defend yourself or form a little, you know, self-defense group in your town, your church, you come to our camp in the summer and take a four-week course and we'll teach you how to do it. There's no organization that does that, okay, within the laws and from a Christian point of view, because we have the right to defend ourselves. I'm not saying defend the American Constitution. I'm saying defend something even more important, the right to be a Christian and practice your Christian faith. Okay, so, but we can't do that without investment. So there's a lot of interest out there, but there's also a lot of distracting voices. There's a lot of people out there that just want to talk and not do anything. Oh. And I have to say that I admire Americans. When it comes to politics, a lot of Americans are willing to organize. You'd be amazed how much money they give for this candidate or that candidate. But as Catholics, as Christians, are we going to be willing to put our money down and invest in Christ's kingdom on earth, defending it? Because that's the real political decision. It's not, I mean, I'm not going to say that voting isn't morally important because we're involved in a terrible crisis here in the West, but especially in the United States, between political parties. One is absolutely satanic, and the other one that to a great extent resists their agenda. But the most important thing we need to support is the defense of Christ's kingdom on earth. Because if we don't defend Christ's kingdom on earth, where will we ever have the moral fiber to vote for the right party? And if we're voting for the right party, but we're not defending Christ's kingdom on the earth, our votes are in vain because eventually the enemy will win. I mean, it's pretty evident now if the Democrats got in power. They will go house to house murdering people. I mean, they even did a program on television. It's on Fox Network. It's called The Purge. They're dreaming of a day when they can declare one day of the year you can kill anyone you like. And they're trying to get young people to watch this show because when they get in power, they're going to declare a purge. And they say, go kill any Republican you want, any Christian you want, any Catholic. Now, do you know how to defend yourself? Did your son learn how to do it? Did he come to our camp? No, because you didn't invest in us. Oh, you didn't invest in us, so we couldn't offer the services. So they're planning for it. And, you know, a lot of people say, well, I have a gun, I know how to use it. Having a gun and knowing how to use it will not win a war. You have to know, not only have a gun and know how to use it, but know how to work in a coordinated military group to defend a strategic position, whether it's your house, your home, and things like that. If you don't know anything about tactics or strategy, you could have all the guns you want. You're not going to win, okay? You know, and so an organization like ours can give valuable military training, even to Christians in our own country that want to defend Christianity. But we're about defending Christians all around the world, and the threat. So there's only a real threat now in places like Iraq, Syria, and Nigeria, South Sudan, Congo, and some other countries like that, you know, Southern Philippines. I shouldn't forget Southern Philippines. So I would encourage investments. That's really the only way to react. I mean, AJ more than I even, have done so much in publicity in 2 years asking you to help, join, support, invest. But I'd say 99.99% of the people who hear our message do not reply. I don't know why. Since they'll throw money at this political candidate or that cause or this group, you know. There's this priest in Chicago. He allowed his parishioners to burn a gay flag, and they raised $76,000 for him on some website funding. And that's great that people came to help the defense of that priest. But, you know, maybe he has legal expenses that go to $70,000. I don't know if I say that, but you know, a couple of hundred thousand Catholics being murdered and genocided in Iraq is a far greater need. And where are the people doing a fundraiser for that? And how could you do that? Now, you can't actually do a nonprofit fundraiser for them, because if you did a nonprofit fundraiser for them, according to U.S. law, that money could only go to food, clothing, and housing. It couldn't go for their security and defense because we have a Masonic system. Tax system. You have to actually make an investment in a private military company like our own, and then they would get monies that they could use for in defending themselves. That's the only way. It's not by giving a donation. It's only by making an investment. An investment, as I said, you don't lose your capital. If you buy one share of our stock's worth $1,000, next year you just sell it to a friend for $1,020, and you make $20, and you haven't lost your money. It's not a donation. It's an investment. And so it's actually less risky and less – it's not money out of your pocket at all, okay? It's just a way of using your money. So I encourage people to wake up and make an investment. If you've not bought a stock before, you can still buy a share. You know, it's not some kind of mysterious thing that only people on Wall Street do. All the companies that have made any impact on modern society are stock companies, and they sold stock. And that's why we sell stock. We don't sell stock because we're out to get rich. We'll sell stock because that's the only way you can do it. If you're going to offer security and defense services, it must be by an investment, because no Western nation considers that a charitable enterprise. Okay? And so you can't give a donation. You have to make an investment. And no one knows you invest. You're just listed in our corporate books as buying the shares, so state of Montana won't know. The state you live in won't know. Your employer won't know. Your friends won't know if you're afraid of, you know, mentioning your investor. And even the IRS won't know, I guess. The IRS won't know unless you sell the stock and make money, and then you have to declare a capital gain. But other than that. So you know, it's a great thing. It's an easy thing to do. And we have several thousand shares of each kind of stock to buy for our BC Basic Combat Training Camp. We have a Y-class stock, which is for buying property in the United States. Since we are U.S. corporations, this is where we can do it legally. And but we need your help. And I don't know how many times I have to say it. I wish I was sitting in a room with all 500 of you who are members of investors or donors, members of our religious association, that I could actually come up to you and say, will you buy a share? But I don't. I don't have that because we've promoted our social media. But imagine me right in front of you saying, here's Brother Alexis, will you buy at least one share or two shares? You know, a lot of people aren't going to buy one share. So we need some of you to buy 10 shares. We need some of you to buy 25 shares. We need some of you to buy 5 shares because a lot of people only buy one share. And the average has to be one share of all 500 of you so that we get our 500 shares, the money to buy at least a house with some property, okay, to do the pre-training, okay? And you'll see how well it goes. You see, you know, I've had a lot of experience in religious life, so that sort of thing could easily run. And we have a lot of military advisors that want to help and come and train our men, but we need a place to do it, okay? And we don't have that. And so we have young men who have signed up our BCT that form and send it in, okay? So they're all waiting. I mean, one just, I had to say in September, he says, it's going to happen soon. I said, I can't tell you yet because we still need to raise the investment. And we don't want to discourage them. So seriously, listen and buy some stock. You know, it's not a donation. It's an investment. So don't think of it as, you know, money out the window you're not going to see again. You get a share, a certificate that says you own the stock. And as I said, within a year, you can sell it to someone else if you like, you know. Not saying you can make money this way, but, you know, if you buy 10 of our shares, you could then like what you did. Next year, you can sell them to your relatives for $1,500 a share, and then you make some money, too. So that's perfectly legal. There's nothing against it. You just have to wait a year, according to security exchange rules. So, you know, this is the only way to do it. We're the only organization doing it. We need to step up. Don't listen to anyone else because, as I said, the clergy have surrendered to the French Revolution. They've become pacifists, all of them, whether they say the traditional Latin Mass or not. They've all become pacifists, or they can't say anything because they fear the bishop will come after them, Rome will come after them, or the IRS will come after them. So most vets will know what I'm talking about, that military men has a thing. Military men are the only thing that's going to do this. And if you talk to any vets in the war, he's going to say this is the way to go about it. Although we're very different from the U.S. military because we're going to give men Christian formation, which they don't get in the military and they so badly need. So buy some stock. We see a lot of things in that report from Iraq that are really very troubling. The fact that the textbooks in school are not mentioning the true history of Iraq. And that will only promote future generations of hatred and violence. The fact that the Iraqis themselves, the Christians, don't seem to know anything about standing up for themselves, having the pride to defend themselves. And it's true, there's a lot of problems there. I mean, because there's not just one Christian group. There's not just one Christian church. There's many of them, and they don't all get along because they have for ages been separated by the Muslims to make them conflict with one another. And there's an organization like our own would go over there and teach them, look, you need to cooperate. You need to fight together. You need to stand together. Even if in every village we have to form a chapter of our order so that each has their own independent existence and knows what to do. But nevertheless, spread the idea there. We can't do that unless first we have training places in the United States and raise enough capital. Then we have a T-class that enables us to found subsidiaries overseas because that's how we would do in Iraq. We would found a company in Iraq, a consulting company, and then go village to village and organize chapters of our religious order and train the young men and teach them how to defend their own village. You know, if someone fires a mortar at your village, what do? You know, you just don't sit there and wait for the police to come, okay? You immediately have to wake up, get in gear, you know, go to your guard posts, do surveillance, how to do surveillance, how to organize it around your town so you know when someone strange is coming down the roads before they come into your town, all kinds of things that would be done. But we can only do it on the ground there by buying a company or in founding a company in Iraq according to Iraqi laws and then training them on how to do it and sending and let them see the example of our young men that we train in the United States
there to teach them how to act as good Christian soldiers. We can't do any of this without investment. And people have to stop the ears, take the wax out of it, and listen to us, because it's not the first time we've said this. It's not the first time I've said it. And the hardness of heart out there is just, you know, inexplicable. I hate giving people guilt trips, but I'd say you should feel guilty if you heard me talk about this and you're able to buy stock and you have not bought stock. You should feel guilty, you know, because it's if you don't know that we exist, if you don't know any Christians are being persecuted, then I say you shouldn't feel guilty because you don't know. But if you know and you don't, you know, how will you stand before Jesus Christ on the day of your judgment? And he says, well, what did you do for my people? You know, so, you know, occasionally we have lottery tickets donated to the order. And as I say to the donors, if we win the Powerball tomorrow, all the money will go to the Friends of Christians, every penny. And they say, that's just unbelievable that you would do that. No, but that's what we're about, okay? So, well, we can't wait for people to win the lottery. If you have money in the bank, buy some shares of stock, and that's how it will get going. And once we get one house facility going, we'll get the next one going, and it will encourage other people. So the first investors will actually encourage the other. And I want to thank the 500 investors we already have who've given us micro-investments that keep our website running, our phones going, our mail going, you know, enabled us to do the little projects we have done in the last year for publicity. Thank you for all, and the small amount of capital we're acquiring, okay? I thank you all. But we need stock, okay? Because the stock is what we need to raise the substantial capital to actually do something. So, you know, because I have people call me up and say, brother, it's been 2 years. Haven't you done anything? Well, you know, I can't do anything with air, you know. And I know there are saints working miracles. I'm not a saint. But even if I was a saint, I can't just, like, point at a map that comes into being a military training camp, you know. Even a saint doesn't work miracles like that. So you need to open your hearts, okay? You have to stop being hard-hearted, and you have to stop being, you know, fearful about your own interests and open your heart to others. And I say, I'm not asking for donations. People give us donations, and I'm often saying, don't give us donations, more micro investments. You know, last fall we did a fundraiser for Christian refugees from Syria, so they have some winter supplies, and we raised like 5,500. And I was very surprised we could raise that much because we were very much smaller last year. But in a way, I wanted to say, okay, if you can donate 5,500 for their food, why can't you buy one share of stock? Which isn't a loss of money, as I said. You can resell that stock next year to someone and get your money back. So, you know, there's something, it seems to me that people just don't understand. You know, buying stock is, it's not like you lose your money. It's just you're converting it to one. It's like if you go to the coin store and you want to buy an old coin. You give the guy $100, he gives you the coin. Well, 5 years from now, you take that coin back to the store and it might be worth $120, and it'll give you $120. You didn't lose your money by buying that coin. Okay, it's not like buying a hamburger. It's you eat and it's gone. Okay, it's an investment. And stock is even more secure than a coin because, you know, maybe it's not going up and not going down, but we're going to only use it to buy real estate. So our real estate will always have that value. And people say, okay, you own a share in their camp and their training facilities, and I see that on the market they're worth so many millions. So obviously this is a good investment because they have assets to back up what you're buying, okay? Because with the money you spend to buy our stocks, our stock sales are organized. They're not like other companies that use spend it on expenses. So please, buy our stock. Yes, do feel guilty if you haven't bought our stock. And look at your investments. I think most Catholics, if they're looking at their savings, they should be able to invest 5% of their life savings. Because, as I say, it's a good investment. It's not going to decrease in value. You can resell it. We do pay a dividend. We have paid a dividend in the past. I can't make statements about the future because the SEC won't allow me to make statements about the future. But in the last 2 years, in November, we've had a stock dividend announcement, and we have paid a dividend. I think the first year we paid $25 a share, and last year we paid $50 a share. And our finances are well enough that we can keep doing that. But we have not. And I guess in a few weeks I'll prepare a new stock dividend declaration so people know the facts about it. So, it's not a loss of money. It's not a donation. It can't be a donation because, as I said, only a PMC can provide security services for them overseas And that requires investments, not donations. That's in the U.S. law. That's the way it's done. And that's most Western countries. That's how it's done. So, you know, the risk is a lot less than some people want to give $1,000. And I say, it's wonderful. We have some knights that pledge $100 every month, and that's great. We have some that pledge $50 a month. That's great. Some pledge $25 a month. That's great. And, you know, once your pledges reach $1,000, you can get a share of our stock. And I tell people, you can get a share of our stock. But we want you to buy a share of our stock. Okay, because then it's put in a special escrow account. When we get the money, we buy the property. And that's what we need to do. We can't operate without that. Okay, I can't train men unless I train them somewhere, and that requires a place. And as I said, we have to own it because no one likes us. No one wants us to do what we're doing, so we have to own a place where we can do it. Buy a property out in the countryside where we can, in a state where we can, you know, do it. Well, the laws allow it, like Montana.
Yeah. Even, let's see. There was one other quote.
I like the one that the article ended on. Don't call it a conflict. It's genocide. It has no other name. And against genocide, you have to use the force of arms to defend yourself because the threat is death. And most genocides are not conducted with people with guns. The fact that the people who are killed don't have guns, that leads to the genocide. So we can do a lot of good for our fellow Christians in the Mideast. And if we can do it and don't do it, then we are guilty in the sight of God, because he has given us everything we have, and we have to use it for his honor and his glory and his kingdom. So, you know, don't tell me, I've given so much to charity this year. Don't tell me that. I'm not talking about charity. I'm talking about investment. How much do you have in the bank for your retirement? How much do you have invested in stocks? How many of you own Google, Facebook? How many of you are in stock, have IRAs that own those things? So you own some of the worst companies, most anti-Catholic companies in the world, and you, why not buy some stock in a Catholic company? You know, ask yourself that. Especially since most of those don't pay you a dividend or totally overflated and have no value, you know, or just destroying other – Amazon's destroying small businesses around America. Why would you own stock in them? Facebook won't even post our videos. That's how much censorship is. Twitter is shutting down even veterans for just saying they like Trump. PayPal just shut down Gab because someone on Gab happened to be a shooter in Pittsburgh. Well, you know, that guy was also a poster on Facebook, but PayPal didn't block Facebook. So, you know, the big companies aren't something we should be investing in. We should invest in good Catholic companies, and I think Ordo Militaris Incorporated is a good Catholic company that merits the consideration of Catholic investors, and it's much more ethical, and we're going to achieve a lot good, okay? Well, protecting your investment and, you know, giving you a good investment opportunity at the same time. So if you are Catholic and you own stock, you should consider divesting from companies like that, and you should consider investing in us. I'll be so bold to say is, if you own $10,000 of shares in Facebook, you should sell it tomorrow and buy 10 of our shares. If you own $25,000 in Google, sell it tomorrow and invest that money in Ordo Militaris. You'll have a clean conscience, you'll have merit before God, and you'll help a lot of good, honest young men who want to be recruits with us. American vets who want to serve with us have an opportunity to do that, which they don't have now because we don't have a facility because no one's buying our stock. So,
yeah. Let's read that quote from Father Douglas again. Let's see. Anyway. Doug, there you are. I'm proud to be an Iraqi. I love my country. But my country is not proud that I'm part of it. What is happening to my people, the Christians, is nothing other than genocide. I beg you, do not call it a conflict. It's genocide. When Islam lives amidst you, the situation might appear acceptable. But when one lives amidst Muslims as a minority, everything becomes impossible. Wake up. The cancer is at your door. It will destroy you. We, the Christians of the Middle East, are the only group that has seen the face of evil, Islam.
And our brothers and sisters in Christ who are in face that wickedness every day, they need our defense. Just like the Crusaders came to the defense of Christians in the Mideast 1,000 years ago, we need to do it today. Okay? Same reason as charity. Same reason. Same reason as persecution. Same reason. Different way of doing it. In the Middle Ages, it was called by the Pope, and the noblemen with their retinue from their medieval feudal states sent their armies across Europe by land and sea. But today, the Pope doesn't need to call it. We know what's right to do, and we have a corporation that can do it. And most our listeners, well, many of our listeners have investments that they can liquidate and move their investments over to us and enable us to do it. And with far less risk, because when the Crusaders went overseas, they lost life, family, and home, where we're not asking you to lose life, family, or home. We're asking you to make investment, actually make a small profit on the side, so it's not asking you to do nearly as honorable thing as Crusaders of old. It's a lot less risky, and therefore more of you should be willing to do it. You know, if you want to be a Catholic of integrity, that means what you say and is going to stand up for what you believe in, and believe that every Christian has the right to bear arms and to be defended, and to teach the poor, persecuted Christian how to do that. And that's what we're all about here at Ordo Militaris, at Ordo Militaris Catholicus, but we need your help. I'm a monk. I don't have a penny. I give all my money to the poor when I became a friar 25 years ago. AJ is handicapped and homebound. He doesn't have any resources. He doesn't even have a job. So, and he's unpaid. I can't afford paying him a salary because we don't have any, you know, finances or investments or income. So we can't do it. All we can do is volunteer our time and ask you to do it. Okay? You are the catalysts. Okay? We could be here 20 years, and if we persevere that long, keep asking and not getting any help, then maybe we'll get in heaven for just our perseverance. But after 2 years of us asking, both of us asking, and AJ, I know on a daily basis, I myself not pretty frequently, but not necessarily on a daily basis since they blocked our Twitter account, Militaris Cap, back in March. You know, how much more do you want to hear us ask it? I mean, it's almost like I sometimes feel, and I'll say this to our members and investors who are listening, I almost kind of feel like I'm a clown on stage and no one's in the theater. In the sense of, you follow us on social media, you even interact with us, and I'm not saying everyone who does has the means to invest, but I know that some of you do and can invest, because I know some of you own civil houses, you know, and are worth a lot of money and make very good salaries, okay, so I know that. And I thank you for what you've done so far to help us. But you could make an investment in stock. You know, I know there's probably a few of you who together could buy us a $500,000 house if you bought our stock. Just a few of you together, because I know some of you are that well off. So you should think about it. Some of you have even promised to help us that much, but then you didn't go in through with your promises. So this is a serious thing. You can call us up. You can ask me questions about it. I can explain it. If you are thinking of investing a truly significant sum of money with us, I'll even come to your home and you can talk with you about it. So you can meet me in person and hear everything I'm going to say all over again. But you'll be at least to meet me and know who is Ordo Militaris and where it comes from. And I can talk to you at even greater length than on a radio program. But this is something we need to do. We can't just keep, you know, AJ and I calling for it and no one paying any attention. I don't know if you realize we're real human beings and this is not just make-believe. Like, I know a lot of people tweet on social media or because they just like, you know, blowvading in front of the world and pretending to be someone that they're not and living in an imaginary world and, you know, expressing their opinion or getting involved or, you know, meet friends because they're really lonely. So that's not why AJ and I are here. We're here to defend Christians, and especially the Christians in Iraq, and that was why the whole organization came into being. And, you know, we want real people out there to listen to us and react. Okay, so we're not the organizations asking you to subscribe. We're not an organization that asks you every time there comes a website, make a donation. We're not the organizations that say, sign this petition, and they get your email, and they send you all kinds of things to sell you books and stuff. You know, there's so many organizations out like that. We're not that kind of organization. okay, we're not an organization that's following this cardinal or solving that problem. No, we're an organization about defending Christians according to the local laws with the force of arms and teaching them how to do that. And there's no other organization out there like that. So we're not a mass media company or anything like that. But we need investors. So this is a real solution to almost of the, a lot of the problems out there that you're lamenting all day long on social media. Give us a little of attention, but a more effort to make an investment, okay? Actually, to make an investment doesn't take much effort at all, you know. So you get a cashier's check, you download our prospectus from our website investment page, ordo-militaris.us, and you send us a cashier check, and then we process it. We send you an email, and you sign some papers, and you get your certificate. It's very easy. It's not like you have to do something every day, you know. You'll spend more time on Twitter in one day than you would ever spend even investing in our companies. It doesn't take that much time to do it. But you'll have a great impact, okay? You'll have a great impact. And as we raise capital, we will make announcements because we have to file with SEC as we raise capital. You'll see as the capital comes in, the seed capital right now, because we're still in the seed phase of our corporation. But we need the investments. Jews are not going to invest with us. Atheists aren't going to invest with us. Globalists are not going to invest with us. People who care about public opinion aren't going to invest in us. Most likely Democrats will probably never invest in us because they're Marxists and stuff. The only people who are going to invest in us are Catholics and Christians who want to defend Christians who are being persecuted. And there are plenty of you out there with money to invest, but you need to act instead of just lamenting that it's happening, because the government isn't going to do it. The U.S. government is actually legally prevented from defending Christians. They have to defend everyone. They can't discriminate on basis of religion. Even though if Christians are the only ones being persecuted, to defend Christians would be like discriminating against them, you know. And that mentality is which has led to a million Christians being genocided or driven out of Iraq, because they couldn't defend Christians. They had to defend everyone. Well, you know, most of the people in Iraq wanted to persecute Christians, even the non-ISIS ones, and so they did. And the U.S. government did none. Why? They're our allies. You know? So you have to be their allies. And we're the organization through which you can be their allies. And that is the reason to invest with Ordo Militaris.
Yeah. I was also thinking from reading the deal, who are actually Christians don't even know their history. Maybe give them a history class.
Yeah, teach them, of course. You know what they really, in addition to security and defense, they need their own schools, their own towns, walled towns. They need their own societies where they can freely and openly express. But they've never seen the kind of liberty we had. I mean, if they flee here, they know. But even if you meet some of them who fled from the Mideast, they're so timid they don't want to do and say anything in public because they know in their country they end up dead. So they need the example of people who live the Crusader's spirit and stands up for their faith and is not afraid to die for the name of Christ and to walk down the street and openly proclaim their religion, you know, and wear the sign of the cross on their uniform. They need that example, and only us in the West can do that, because it's only the Catholics of the European tradition, of the Crusader tradition, who've ever did this, okay? It's not the Catholics of South America. It's not the Catholics of Africa, not even the Catholics of North America or the Orient, but those of us of European descent, or those of us who are not of European descent, but nevertheless spiritually see ourselves as descendants of the Crusaders, only we can do that, because only we know how. We have the example. We have the willingness. We understand how great and glorious that is, how honorable that is, and how noble it is, and how it should be done again. So that's why we need you to invest. If you're that kind of person, if you recognize that you spiritually are the son of a crusader or a daughter of a crusader, then you need to be an investor, you know. We're proud here at Ordo Militaris Catholicis to have AJ as a volunteer, who's actually a physical descendant of Charlemagne and the most in the nobility of Europe. And he feels really on fire because he found out he is their descendant, that he should take this kind of stand. Many of us are not. I am not the descendant of anyone famous. I'm just a descendant of peasants. But nevertheless, I see the Crusaders as someone that should be admired, and especially the saints. I see that they're worthy of imitation, and that's enough for me. Okay, so whether it's by blood or by spirit or by both, you know, if you see yourself like that, you need to be an investor. Because someone has to arm the men, train the men. The men can volunteer, but, you know, they need the investors. And I ask you to be one.
Yeah. and this report is linked in the show page twice. The link to the website for Ornamental Terrace is linked there. Just go invest, people. Only takes a penny to prove you're a human.
Yeah, you can download our prospectus. You just have to pay one penny. That's just to prevent hackers from getting copies of it. Okay, so to prevent computers from taking it otherwise. So, I will thank everyone for listening to our program and to this cause, and I hope this program has made you realize, okay, it's one thing to talk about it, it's another thing to lament about it, but now we actually have to do something about it. And if you're able to buy a share, buy a share. If you're able to buy 5 shares, buy 5 shares. If you buy 10, buy 10. If you're able to buy 100 shares, buy 100 shares. And we'll get this thing done. We'll get a house this fall, because I've been looking at property for 4 years. I know how to buy property. That's one thing I've been doing on the side to train myself, to know how what's a good buy, what could all be the problems in the house, so I can find a house, buy it with good property, and get this program up and running so that at least can get the preliminary training house going and get them ready for a training camp, organizing a training camp. Then we'll have a place for our headquarters to post our flag, and our members around the country, around the world, can actually come and visit a place and see it, and you know that we're real. We're not just an internet organization.
Yeah. Well, tomorrow I'll probably push it again before I read another little part from St. Leonard's Port of Maurice, little book on the Mass. Found that little book?
That's an excellent book on the Mass. It's the best book ever written on the Mass, and it's written by a saint, St. Louis of Port Maurice. I highly encourage everyone to listen in.
Yeah, we did part one a few days ago. We'll do part two of chapter one tomorrow, 8:30 if my memory's right. So tune in. For now, this is Ornamental Terrace Radio, signing off. Deus vult.
Deus vult.